This is the 90 Neighborhoods 90 Good Stories podcast from 90.5 WESA. I'm Joaquin Gonzalez. Each week, we introduce you to people in the Pittsburgh area who are striving to make their community a better place to live. The series is sponsored by UPMC, life-changing medicine. This episode, Revamping a Park in Carrick, Connecting Families to Schools in Lawrenceville, and Channeling the Skills of Graffiti Artists on the South Side. We'll start off at Phillips Park in Carrick, where 90.5 WESA's Noah Broad caught up with resident and volunteer Amy Klein.
Amy Klein moved to Carrick 8 years ago, and soon after, she became acquainted with Phillips Park. Klein sent her daughter to the park's after-school rec center, where kids play games, work on arts and crafts, and play basketball. But Klein noticed that some parts of the park were habitually underused. She says the long, sloping green space and the 18-hole disc golf course usually sit empty, and the park's in need of new lighting and paving.
We'd really like to have the park and all of the trails lit well so that you can use it at any time of day, even to just pass through on your way from Brownsville to home. It's not well lit back there right now.
So when she heard that the Pittsburgh Parks Conservancy was creating a Friends of Phillips Park group this fall, Klein got on board immediately. Fellow park volunteer Dan Buzinski says Klein was proactive.
She very early on in all the meetings just took a leadership role without, you know, any prodding. She just a natural leader, brought in Girl Scouts, brought in the girl that's doing our Instagram page. So she's been instrumental in, you know, we just kind of look over at her like, what should we do? And then she figures out what to do and we do it.
Klein says she's hopeful that the show of support from the Friends of Phillips Park will convince City Council and the mayor to approve a proposed $450,000 investment in the park in 2018. The park itself is named after Carrick resident John M. Phillips, an early 20th century industrialist and conservationist. It sits just across from Carrick High School, between Route 51 and Brownsville Road. Before the city bought the land, though, it was an amusement park called Dilly's Grove.
There was a roller coaster that if you look at the landscape of the park, you can almost see where it lived. Just the way the hills are that roll through, you can see how that roller coaster was there. There was a carousel right behind the rec center.
Carrick remains one of the city's largest and most populous neighborhoods, with more than 10,000 residents at the last census. And Klein says the neighborhood's demographics are changing due to its low housing costs.
It's full of older Pittsburgh families and older Pittsburgh homes, and now younger families moving in all the time. Plus, I'd say the largest Bhutanese and Nepali population in the city probably lives in Carrick.
According to the Post-Gazette, by 2012, Carrick was home to about one-sixth of Pittsburgh's estimated 3,000 ethnic Nepali refugees who had been expelled from Bhutan. In light of the changes in her neighborhood, Klein says she's determined to transform Phillips Park into the thriving community center for Carrick that Dilly's Grove used to be. Hopefully, she says, with financing from the city's capital budget.
Come through with our money and you will see Phillips Park start to glow. We have had discussions about what's our concert series here look like? What do yoga classes on the lawn look like?
Noah Broad, 90.5 WESA News.
I'll bring you our next story, which takes us to Neville Island, where Dorothy Antonelli and the nonprofit Neville Green work to maintain the island's environment.
Steve Root moved to Pittsburgh's South Side in 2006, and right away, he knew he wanted to get involved in the community and make connections. Root is a psychotherapist and social worker by trade, but remains a sculptor and photographer at heart. He's always held an interest in the arts, including street art. So in 2007, he founded the volunteer group Graffiti Watch, with backing from the Southside Community Council.
Our intention was never to eliminate graffiti. It's not possible. It's part of the culture. It's everywhere in every country. But I think we needed to manage it and really sort of establish, in my mind, was a dialectic between us and the graffiti artists.
He says the South Side's vandalism problem is much more manageable now than it was 10 years ago, but still, Root says painting over graffiti with plain gray squares began to seem like a waste of time.
Other artists I know, street artists, they kept jagging me about painting over graffiti, and I just got to a point where I said, we got to do public art, have murals. And so for the past year, we've been working on developing this project, Southside Public Art.
Graffiti Watch and the Southside Community Council commissioned a series of murals to be painted along a long cinder block wall on Fox Way between 20th and 21st Streets. The first one was completed in April. The next three were unveiled just a few weeks ago. One of those murals was painted by Matt Spar, a Plum-based artist whose work clearly reflects his street art beginnings. Spar's piece features winged eyeballs floating across a surreal cityscape, all done in bold lines and bright, eye-catching colors. It's his first mural. At the unveiling event, he was still up on the scaffolding, making some last-minute tweaks to his work as a DJ blared music down the alley.
He's very hands-on. He seems to have a personal investment in what's going on with the murals. He's just not like a typical building owner, property owner. No, he's down here every day, seeing the progress. Not checking up on us, not bossing us or anything like that, but just showing up and just seeing how things are progressing and giving us encouragement and stuff like that.
Spar says he had only heard stories of Root as a hardline graffiti buster before the mural project, but now he calls him a solid dude. He says he appreciates that Root is trying to connect graffiti artists with the community at large.
I don't know if there will ever be 100% reconciliation between, property owners and people who like to write on their property. Probably not, you know what I mean? But we're trying to do what we can do. We're just trying to take a step in the right direction.
Since the unveiling, lots of other Pittsburgh-area artists have contacted Root in hopes of having a space in the South Side for their own work. And Root says the community council is looking into providing them with walls to paint on. Root says someday he'd love to be able to hold walking tours of murals throughout the South Side.
We were trying to keep this going. It's not just a one-time thing. We're trying to sort of have this now become part of the culture of the South Side in Pittsburgh.
I'm Noah Broad, 90.5 WESA News.
Our final story coming up.
WESA celebrates 90 neighborhoods, 90 good stories, is supported by UPMC, life-changing medicine.
I'll be bringing you this last segment, which features Dave Brengen of the nonprofit Lawrenceville United and his efforts to bridge the gap between educators and community.
How you doing? Good to see you.
Dave Brengen is walking through the gym at Arsenal Middle School. Most of the kids here recognize him and say hi.
Hey, Turcano. What's up? How are you?
Brengen knows the kids through his involvement in Pep Rally, which he describes as a triangular link between Lawrenceville's families, the public schools, and the neighborhood's wider community.
And trying to make each of those different points on the triangle more accountable to each other and bringing them together ultimately to benefit children in our neighborhood.
Lawrenceville United, a nonprofit dedicated to improving quality of life in the neighborhood, started Pep Rally in 2013 during a period of declining enrollment at the community's public schools, Arsenal Elementary, Arsenal Middle, and Woolslayer Elementary. Brengen was the program's first staff member. He says he started out going door to door in the neighborhood talking to parents, and he found that a lot of them hadn't gotten many chances to get involved with the schools.
I heard a lot of things like, what is it even like inside the school? Can we come and see the school? There's a pool in Arsenal, really?
Monica Tillman, who's been a social worker at Arsenal for 25 years, says school staff usually just don't have the time to bring people in from the community.
A lot of our staff not only work with the children during the day, but they work with them after school. They're their coaches, they're tutoring kids, and so their day is pretty full.
Pep Rally started bringing teachers and families together at neighborhood events like a Halloween party. And that led to more collaborations within the schools. At Arsenal, for example, Pep Rally partnered with Goodwill to create a program where the parents of English as a second language students could come and take their own English classes in the evenings. In 2013, Woolslayer's enrollment was down to just over 100 students, and Pittsburgh Public Schools had recommended that it close. Brengen and Pep Rally worked with parents and teachers to create a successful proposal to revitalize the school as a partial magnet for science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. Tillman says Pep Rally has played an important role in Arsenal's success.
When parents and school staff can partner, it only strengthens what you provide for young people.
Over the last 4 years, Arsenal Middle School and Woolslayer have both been recognized multiple times by the district for their students' improvements in standardized test scores. And since 2014, enrollment at Woolslayer has doubled. Rebecca Ferrer says when she moved to Lawrenceville in 2015, Brengen and Pep Rally helped her acclimate and choose Wool Slayer for her kids.
It was really helpful in deciding about the school and really helpful in deciding about the neighborhood and getting involved in the neighborhood. I'm the kind of person who, if there was an email blast, I might ignore it, or kind of an introvert. So it's really helpful to have the person to person.
Last year, Brengen transitioned to a new role at Lawrenceville United, executive director. He says he wants to cast a wider net in making Lawrenceville more family friendly. Next up, fighting to make housing more equitable as the neighborhood continues to gentrify. That's the last story for this episode. Thanks, as always, for joining us. 90 Neighborhoods, 90 Good Stories is an ongoing project, and you can be a part of it. If you know someone who's making a difference in your community, you can nominate them at our website, wesa.fm/90.